We appreciate you.
Appreciate y'all.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Let's give God some praise. He's worthy. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, there is none like you, Jesus. Oh, you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are the great I am. Glory unto you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. It is good to be at this home. We have many homes around the states, but we have one home that we are longing for. I will not lie. We are longing to be home, and one day soon we will be there. It is good to be with you. I want to thank Brother Shindall for allowing me to be here tonight. And I would lie if I said I was not nervous. I'm always nervous whenever I stand before you, and I think part of that is, to be quite honest, it's a wanting to make you proud, wanting you to be impressed a little bit. That's that fleshly desire, right? But here's the thing. It doesn't matter if I impress you tonight. It's not about me. It's not about me. None of this is about me. It's about Him. And it's about your heart and your response tonight. You see, I can get up here and I can stumble over my words. I can preach a message and just royally mess it up. Or I could get up here and I could just wow you. I could give you revelation after revelation. But in the end, that doesn't matter. What matters is your heart and your response. Tonight, I ask you to respond to this word. God has been dealing with me so greatly this week. If you would turn to Matthew 5 and 6. And then we're going to go to Luke 6 and 21. Very, very, very familiar passages. And you're going to know where I'm going probably when we're done. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6 says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." And then let's go to Luke 6 and 21. When you're there, say amen. If you're not, say gloire à Dieu. Praise God. Luke 6 and 21, and then we're going to go all the way to 25. It says, "Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil, for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. But woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep." If you would put your Bibles down and pray with me. Lord Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for your spirit in this house, oh Lord. I thank you for that anointing that I feel in this place, Jesus. For your presence that's already moved. For your spirit that has already moved in this place, oh God. Lord, I ask that you would continue to move through this house. Lord, that you would unleash your angels in this place, oh God. That they would minister to hearts in this place, oh Lord Jesus. Let every heart and mind be changed in this place. Let lives be transformed in this house tonight. Oh God, let your anointing flow and let it break every yoke in this house, oh God, in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be unto you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's give him some praise. Hallelujah. Oh, you are worthy, Jesus. You are worthy of all the praise and glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be unto you, Jesus. You can be seated. I want to talk to you tonight about hunger. What is hunger? And we all think we know what hunger is, right? We all have an idea. We go through it. It's one of those basic things that is in us, is hunger, right? But if you would appease me for a little while, I'm going to go through the definitions of hunger for you. Merriam-Webster says it's a noun. It's a craving or urgent need for food or a specific nutrient. Number two, it's an uneasy sensation occasioned by the lack of food. Number three, it's a weakened condition brought about by prolonged lack of food. An example, he died of hunger. It's also a verb. It's a strong desire or craving. An example of this, he had a hunger for success. According to an article on the BBC website, hunger is our body's way of driving us to find food and eat to stay alive. It is a very powerful human instinct which can compel us to extremes of behavior. Hunger is our body's response to having eaten less than normal. It is caused by the brain reading changes in the levels of hormones and nutrients in the blood. When we feel this feeling of hunger, we are faced with a choice. What are we going to do? What are we going to do when we are hungry? Do we or our spouse, in my home it would be my spouse because I'm a terrible cook, okay? And if I went in there and started trying to find stuff to cook, I know about how to make PB&Js. I know about making eggs, and I miraculously, carrying some of these kids around with me, I miraculously managed to make some chicken parmesan, okay? I don't know how I did it, okay? I'm not a cook. So it would probably be my wife. She would go into the kitchen and she would cook a good, healthy meal for us. Or are we going to go to the grocery store and we're going to go down the candy aisle and fill a cart full of junk and pile it full of junk food and then leave and go eat all of that junk food? Or do we just ignore it? What do you do when you're hungry? What are you going to do tonight with your hunger? If we feed our bodies that nice, healthy meal, then we feel full, we feel energized, we feel alive, right? If we eat all the junk food, oh, it tastes wonderful, it's great, right? But it robs our body of nutrients. Sugar, it's not very healthy for you if you didn't know that. It robs your body of specific nutrients that you need. Okay? We can fill ourselves with junk food and we'll feel full. But if we continue to feed ourselves junk, eventually our bodies are going to die out. If we ignore it, we'll just get hungrier and hungrier, and eventually we'll become tired, and many of us will become cranky. You see, there is such a word and there is such a thing as hangry. When you get hungry, you get cranky, you get tired, you little things, you snap. Okay? You're hangry. It's actually been medically proven that you can become hangry. The hormones are linked to anger that is released whenever you're hungry. And so it causes anger and crankiness. And if we ignore it long enough, then without the proper nutrients, we will eventually die. Hunger can literally cause people to go crazy, to do crazy things. There's been many, many stories of people being stranded in the wilderness or in the mountains, in the snow, and they get so hungry, and there's just this group of people and they can't find any food, and eventually they start dying off, and they say, well, we've got to have something, and they do something very crazy. They start eating one another. That's crazy. Can you say that's crazy? Hunger makes you do crazy things. Hunger can cause people to steal. It can cause people to kill. It can cause people to work. Amazing, right? When you're hungry, you're going to go and work. We've got a generation coming along that, and I'm not knocking our young people. Maybe they're not like this. I pray that they're not. But we've got a generation that they're not hungry. They're satisfied. They're full. And so they don't want to work. America is full. It can cause people to beg. Hunger can drive people to do practically anything. But hunger's purpose is to drive us to eat. So tonight I want to talk to you about spiritual hunger. What is spiritual hunger? Spiritual hunger is not that different from physical hunger. It is a craving or an urgent need to do something. It's a need for something more. It's an uneasy sensation caused by a lack of something. It's a weakened condition brought on by a lack of something. What is that something more? It's Jesus. We all have a hunger for Jesus. Every single one of us on the face of this earth has a hunger for Jesus. But you see, there's two things inside of you. There's a spirit and there's a flesh. And many times we try to feel that hunger for Jesus and we feed the flesh. We feed the flesh. We don't feed the spirit. We go out and we grab things. We grab chocolate. We get stressed out and we go and we grab chocolate. In Burkina, they don't have these things, right? In Burkina, they're poor. In the United States, we've got everything we want at our fingertips. And so we go out and we grab it. And we fill the void. We try our best to fill the void. You see people, they're strung out on drugs. They're alcoholics because they're trying to fill that void. They're feeding their flesh is what they're doing. Trying to fill a spiritual void that can never be filled through your flesh. It's been proven that you can actually retrain your taste buds. Because taste is really acquired. It's an acquired thing. Anyone that starts drinking alcohol could probably tell you this. Whenever they first started drinking it, man, it was nasty as it could be, right? Many coffee drinkers, the same thing. They started drinking it, and it didn't taste good in the beginning. I can remember being a young child and going to work with one of my uncles, and he had a thermos, a Stanley thermos full of coffee. And I snuck out there and I said, well, I'm going to try this. And I got me a cup of that coffee that he had in there. And I don't know how strong it was, but I took a drink of it and I immediately spit it out because it was bitter. It was nasty. Now I'm a coffeeholic. It's an acquired taste. Okay? It's an acquired taste. You can retrain your taste buds. You can do it, Brother Shindall. Praise God. Because it's an acquired thing. If you're exposed to certain foods over and over again, what do you not like? Broccoli? You like broccoli. You don't like tomatoes. Start eating tomatoes, even though you don't like them. Eat them and eat them and eat them, and you can retrain your taste buds. Praise God. If you eat it over and over again, it's proven that you will eventually start to like those things. Now, whenever I first got back into church, I'd listen to worldly music, okay? And so whenever I would hear the choir songs, and we have an awesome choir, amen? They did great tonight. There's no other music like that now. But whenever I first got back into church, I liked worldly music. And so that choir music, that angelic sound just didn't appeal to me. It just didn't appeal to me. Because I didn't have the taste for it. And over time, I started to weed out that worldly music. And I started to listen to more and more of that. And over time, it's become the best thing in the world to me. I love to hear it. I loved hearing them sing tonight. I loved worshiping with them. But you can retrain your taste buds. You can also retrain your spirit. Your spiritual taste buds. You see, you can sow to your flesh. You can sow all of these things into your flesh. You can get on the media and you can look at all these things that you ought not look at. You can listen to all these things you shouldn't listen to. And you are training yourself. You're feeding your flesh. Or you can train yourself to go after the Spirit, to follow after the Spirit. And you will begin to desire the Spirit, more and more of the Spirit. You will become hungry for more and more of the Spirit. Somebody hear me tonight. We've got to get hungry tonight. We've got to get hungry for the Spirit of God like never before. This is the end time and we can't sit back any longer and be hungry for those fleshly things. We've got to get hungry for the Spirit tonight. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We've got to make sure that we're feeding our spirit and not our flesh. So many times, we in the church included, we fill ourselves with junk. Things that don't matter. We're filling ourselves with junk. This is why you see those people, they go and they do those drugs and that alcohol. They're searching for more and they just can't fill that void. And we do the same thing. We fill up with all these things that don't matter. We were driving down the road one day, and I Told you I used to listen to worldly music, and I don't know why. We normally have two stations we listen to on our radio in the car, and for some reason I was flipping through and I stopped. And many of you might know this song, and if you don't, please don't go look it up because it's not a good song, okay? It was Pink Floyd's, I heard some laughs, okay. Comfortably Numb. And I stopped. I wouldn't normally do that, but for some reason I stopped. I think it was a God thing. I know it was. Because I listened to it for a minute, and it described this man that he's saying, "Hello, hello, is there anybody out there?" And he says, "I've become comfortably numb. I've become numb to everything." And so many times, we as Christians, we feed the flesh so much. We start feeding the flesh, and we feed it all of these things, and we become comfortable, and we become numb. We become numb to the Spirit of God. We become numb to the things of God because we fed the flesh so much that our spirit is dying. We become comfortably numb. America, we're comfortable. We're comfortable in America. We have all these things at our fingertips. We've got doctors and we've got all these things to make us comfortable around us. We're blessed. Where we're ministering, they don't have these things. They go straight to the source because they have no other option. But the reason that God said that it was easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than it was for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven is because a rich man can comfort himself as much as he can. He can try as much as he can. And so he never turns to God. He never starts feeding his spirit. And he's not hungry because his spirit's numb. We've got to shake ourselves today. We've got to make ourselves uncomfortable. We've got to get hungry again. After about 10 days, when you're on an extended fast, you start to lose those hunger pains. Some people, it starts to happen a little quicker. You'll start to lose that edge of feeling hungry. Your body gets tired, you begin to lose weight, and you lack energy. But that intense hunger starts to subside within your system because your body's getting accustomed to not having food, not eating. And your digestive system, it starts to shut down. It starts to rest. And if you happen to chew a piece of gum or some type of food, immediately your digestive system starts again and your appetite ignites again. You get hungry again. Your body begins to taste food again. And suddenly you've got a hunger again because your body's appetite has been awakened. We need to awaken our appetites in this house tonight. We need to awaken that spiritual appetite in this place again. I hope tonight that I could be your hormones for a minute. That God would allow me to stir you up. That you would start to feel those hunger pains again. That your spirit would start to stir within inside of you. And you would become hungry again. For the Spirit of God, for the things of God, for the Word of God. We can't sit back and say, whatever happens, happens. We can't let this be another service. Just another ordinary service. Somebody's hungry tonight. Somebody needs to let that hunger move you. You see, when you're hungry, you're going to do something. Hunger moves you. Somebody hear me tonight. You're hungry. You've been crying out. You've been saying, God, I need something. God, I'm desperate for a change. God, I can't take this any longer, God. God, I need something, Lord. I'm hungry, God. I need your spirit, God. Hear me tonight. Let that hunger move you. I preach messages like this and nobody moves. And I say, how is it, God? How is it that nobody's moving, God? What is it, God? And I go to other churches and they move. They fill the altar. It's hunger. It's hunger. It's hunger. You've got to be hungry. You see, hunger is a driving force. It moves you. It causes you to do something. You can't sit there when you're hungry. You've got to get up and move and fix something or get out and work and make some money so you can go through the drive-through and buy something. You can't sit back. or you'll die. So why? Why do we come into this house? Why do we come in here week after week and sit on the pew and never move a muscle? Hunger causes you to do something. Hunger is what drove Mary to bring that ointment to wash Jesus' feet. It was a physical hunger that drove Esau to sell his birthright. It was hunger that drove those four lepers sitting outside of Samaria to go into the enemy camp because they said, well, we have nothing to lose here. We're hungry. There's a famine in the land. Well, why don't we go ahead and go there? If we go into the city, we're going to die. They've got food over there in the camp. Let's go over there to the camp. Hunger drove them to do something. Hunger is what drives a man named Clement in Burkina. As a baby, his sister dropped him. And because of her dropping him, it paralyzed him from the waist down. Hunger drove him because there's no type of welfare system in Burkina. Hunger drove him to say, well, I've got to eat. So he goes and he works in the artisan market and he makes things with his hand. And he's got huge arms from pushing a wheelchair around, and he's got huge hands. If you reach and grab his hand, I don't know how big he would have been if he hadn't. He probably would have been David's size if he hadn't been dropped. But hunger drives him. Hunger drives him to come to church. Hunger drives him to take his feet. And they have steps leading up to the church that he goes to. And he bends down and he grabs his feet and he picks them up and he drags them into the church house Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And when he gets in there, everybody else is dancing and worshiping God. And Clement, he can't sit there. He can't just sit there and sit back. He says, I'm hungry for more. And so Clement, he'll get down and he'll move his feet and he'll dance as much as he can. He'll clap his hands. He'll praise God. He'll sing to him with everything that he has because he's hungry. He's hungry for more. He can't sit back. He can't wait. He can't watch. He's hungry. Hunger is what drives a man like Kinda. Kinda was a former Muslim. Brother Cantrell taught him a Bible study. I may have talked about him last time I was here. Brother Cantrell taught him a Bible study. He was baptized in Jesus' name. He was filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hunger drives him to pray every single day. Hunger drives him to carry his Bible with him everywhere he goes. But here's the kicker. Kendall was 47 when we were there. He carried his Bible everywhere he went, but he couldn't read it. But because he was hungry, he said, I'm going to carry this with me everywhere I go because this is God's word. He said, I'm going to have it with me. It doesn't matter if I can read it or not. If I can find somebody that might read it to me, I'm going to have it. Because he's hungry. Hunger drives Kinda to pray and to be available to God. And God is using Kinda to raise people from the dead, to pray for people and healings and miracles take place. We've got to get hungry if we want miracles. That's why we don't see the miracles, the signs and wonders like they do over there. It's because we're not hungry enough. You want a healing? Get hungry for it. You want a change in your life? Get hungry for it. I was in the prayer room earlier and I heard hunger. I heard people crying out with desperateness, desperation. Desperateness is not a word, my wife tells me. They were crying out because they were hungry. Somebody cry out right now because you're hungry. You can't take it anymore. You've got to have a change. Oh, God. God, we need you, Lord. We need more of you, Jesus. More of you, oh God. Hunger drives Kinda to talk to everyone he meets about Jesus, because he's hungry to see souls saved. Hunger is what drove his wife, Aisha, to come to us and say she wanted a Bible. Aisha can't read either, though. She comes to us and she says, I want a Bible. And we said, okay. We said, we'll see what we can do. We always gave her a bag full of vegetables anytime she came over just to try to help them out because they're very poor. And we took that Bible and we stuck it down in that bag of vegetables. And Aisha, she said thank you whenever she took it. And she went around the corner. And when she got around the corner, you could hear her rustling through the bag. She was digging through it. And next thing you know, you hear this screaming, hollering, yelling. You think of somebody that's won the lottery. You think of somebody at a football game going crazy. They've got nothing on Aisha. She was screaming. She was jumping up and down. Thank you, thank you. In French, merci, merci, merci. Praise Jesus, hallelujah. Jumping up and down, screaming to receive a Bible that she can't even read. That's hunger. That's hunger. And the Bible says, anytime there's a hunger, they shall be filled. She's hungry for more. This last year, Donna Parker went. Donna's a namer now. And she went and she's learned how to, she went to a class to teach people how to read. And she's been teaching people how to read. And they're using the Bible as their material to learn how to read. And Aisha's going through and she's highlighting things. She's highlighting things. And she says, this is so that whenever I can read, I can come back and read this and study it for myself. I'm talking about a former Muslim tonight. A devout Muslim that didn't worry about reading so she could read her Quran. I'm talking about somebody that wants to read because she's hungry for more of Jesus. What's your hunger going to drive you to do tonight? Hunger is what drove a young man named Ali. He would come by the house all the time. He wanted to spray for mosquitoes, and I just really didn't see the point of him spraying in my yard because all my neighbors wouldn't have him spray. And so what was the point? If the mosquitoes were in their yard, they would come into my yard, I figured. So what was the point? But I started talking to him, and I befriended him. And we were having a national conference, and he came by the Saturday before that Sunday. I can't remember. Kimberly would know. He comes by, and he's talking to me, and I just, for some reason, I decided to ask him. I said, so you're Muslim, right? And he said, yes. And I said, so if you were to convert from Islam to Christianity, would your family get upset? Would they be mad at you? And he said, yes, he would. He said, my father would be really mad. He would be very upset, and he'd probably kick me out of the house. I said, well, who would you rather be right with, your dad or God? And he said, well, God. And so I threw this one on him. I said, so let me ask you this question. Who do you think Jesus was? And we all know, or many of us know, that the Islam, they teach that he's a prophet. I said, who do you think Jesus is? He said, well, he's a prophet and he did a lot of miracles. I said, that's right, he did a lot of miracles. But here, think about this for a minute. Jesus was a little different from all those other prophets. What was the difference? I said, Jesus didn't pray for things to happen. All those other prophets had to pray for things to happen. I said, but Jesus, he spoke and things happened. He called Lazarus to come out of the pit and Lazarus came out. Jesus is not like any other prophet. You can see the wheels turning. I said, you know why? I said, because he was God wrapped in flesh. He was the very God that created the heavens and the earth walking among us. He spoke and things happened. You see the wheels turning. I sparked something in his mind. I sparked a hunger. I told him, I said, hey, we're having our national conference. I'd really like for you to come. He said, well, I don't have the money to get gas to come. And I said, well, if you'll come, God will provide. If you'll just come, God will provide it. And to be honest, I was thinking kind of carnally. I was thinking, well, if he comes, I'll give him the money. All right? We get to the conference, and he comes up to me afterwards, and he says, man, that was great. That was awesome. I said, well, how'd you get here? He said, well, whenever I got home, somebody had left me some money, and I was able to get gas and get some food. He said, that was awesome, though. And so I said, okay, great. I said, you're going to come back? He said, well, we'll see. That next day, we were getting ready to leave. We were ready to leave the country. We were packing up, getting all kind of stuff, and putting it all up, and just running around like chickens with our heads cut off. And so Ali shows up, and he's hungry. And so he comes in. I invite him in, and he comes sit down. He comes and sits down, and I say, look, man, I can't talk. I'm going to have to be moving around and getting stuff. But Ali comes, and he sits down in our living room on the couch, and I start pouring things into him. I start talking to him about Moses and the plans of God and how you've got to follow the plans of God or else your life's not going to work. And I just start pouring things in him. And I just keep pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring. And before you know it, I'm running back and forth, grabbing things, and I'm pouring things into him while I'm coming through the room. I'm just running back and forth, grabbing things, putting them somewhere, and pouring things into him. He sits there for 5 hours on our living room couch, listening to me, that I'm not even able to give him my full attention because he's hungry. Most of us, we can't even come to church and sit here for 2 hours. Let alone 5. Because he's hungry. We get everything packed up and we start leaving. And we start heading to the Cantrell so they can take us to the airport. And guess what? Ali's walking along behind us. Following us all the way over there. And I'm putting stuff in him. Because he's hungry. We get ready to leave, and Ali's still at the Cantrells because he's hungry. We need to get hungry again. We can't sit back. We can't wait. We can't fill ourselves with all the junk. We've got to get hungry for the spiritual things again. We've got to do something about that hunger. Hunger drives us to do something more. Hunger is what drove Issica, a former fetish worshiper and Muslim, to go into a church and decide that he was going to follow Jesus with everything he had. Later, somebody invited him to a Pentecostal church. He came into that Pentecostal church. He was filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost and instantly healed of his rheumatism. Now, that hunger has driven Issica to be one of our best pastors. His church, honestly, was my favorite church in Burkina. There was always something happening there. He's one of our best soul winners. He's one of our Bible school teachers. Hunger will drive you to do more. Yeah. Me and Brother Cantrell were able to go into Chad in September of 2016, and when we were sitting in the airport, Brother Cantrell leans over to me and he says, God's going to give you a defining moment in this trip. And I said, okay. I said, but honestly, I think this whole trip's going to be defining for me, brother. I've got a burden for this country. And he said, no, God's going to give you a specific defining moment. And when we got into Chad, we met with two young men. We had called them, and they came and they met with us. And we got started talking to them. Their names are Furman and Irv. Please pray for Furman and Irv. And we started talking to them. And Irv said this. He said, the youth of this country are ready to do something more for God. He hit me. Boom. Here's your defining moment, Rodney. You're saying, why is that a defining moment? Because it told me there was a hunger. It told me that they were wanting more. It told me that they weren't satisfied with what they have. They weren't satisfied with the status quo. They couldn't leave things where they were. And anytime there's a hunger, God's going to show up and he's going to show out. He's going to feel that hunger. Somebody, you walked into this house and you're hungry, and God's about ready to do something in your life. He's about ready to feel that hunger. But you're going to have to respond. You're going to have to move. You're going to have to step out. You're going to have to bury yourself in this altar and give Him everything you can give Him. He wants to know how hungry you are. Hunger is what caused Jesus to alter His destination. He was headed somewhere and He changed directions because there was a hungry soul. He met the woman at the well. She wanted something. She wanted more. She was desperate for more. She needed something. She needed her daughter to be healed. And Jesus basically offended her. He did His best to offend her. He called her a dog pretty much. But because she was hungry, she said, "It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what they say about me. It doesn't matter what they do. It doesn't matter what He says. Even the dogs get crumbs, God. I want more. I want more. Who's hungry with me tonight? Who's hungry for more? Who's hungry?" This altar's open right now. It's open right now. Somebody's hungry tonight, and somebody's going to get something from Him. Somebody needs something from Him. Don't sit back and just say, "Well, I'm not hungry." Get hungry in this place. Feed your spirit tonight. Are you hungry or are you satisfied? Hunger is going to cause something to happen in this place. Luke 6 and 21 says, "Blessed are thee that hunger now, for ye shall be filled." Is anybody hungry now? God is in this house and somebody's hungry for more. Somebody's going to have a moment with the Master tonight. Why not you? Somebody's hungry. Give Him everything. Give Him everything. Push past the distractions. Like that woman with the issue of blood. Get past yourself. Cry out to Him. Give Him everything tonight so He can feel you. Show Him how hungry you are. Oh, Sharaki, Arako,